Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
We're going to read some scripture together and then we'll pray. And I'm looking forward to being able to share what's on my heart with you. This is from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, this account. And it says this, "Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, 'My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God.'" Wow, there's a revelation right there. The temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. "Now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might gold things to be made of gold, silver things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of all various colors, all kinds of precious stones and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?" Wow, what a great question. Let's just take a moment to pray before we get around this word. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who sees and knows your people, that you have a plan and a purpose for our future. God, we didn't come here today just to tick a box, just to say that we did church, but we came here today to encounter you, to open our hearts to you, to have you do something in us. We came today because we want to leave different to how we came in. We want to experience you in a way that transforms us. So come into our hearts, come into our minds, come into us today and have your way. Help us to be surrendered to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Kaylin. Well, today is Building Our Future Sunday. So if you are new to our church, maybe you've been around for a little while, but you haven't been around, this time of year, we always set aside this date as our Building Our Future Sunday. We do this annually. And we set this date aside because we want to sow financially into the future of our church. We do this because we want to ensure that the future of our church is strong. We want to ensure that the next generation will have a strong church that they can be a part of. We want to ensure that we have buildings for them to worship in. We want to ensure that they have places that they can call their spiritual homes, where they can come with their families and find faith. We want to have places that they can invite their friends to so their friends can find faith. That's why we have Building Our Future. And today we've read this passage in Scripture, 1 Chronicles 29, because it speaks so much about what building our future is all about. And when you read that account in Scripture, it sounds like a whole bunch of things that God, that David set aside for Solomon, and that's all great. But there's actually something really incredible about this account in Scripture. And to understand that or to see that, you just need to know the context around what was happening at the time. When we hear this account that we read in Chronicles 29, David had assembled all the leaders of Israel together, and he was doing this kind of passing the baton kind of speech, kind of ceremony, to hand over the leadership of Israel to Solomon. And when he did that, he didn't just present Solomon to these leaders, but he actually presented to Solomon the plans for the temple and all of the materials, all of the items that he was going to need to build a temple for God. And what is so incredible about the context around this account is that it had actually been on David's heart that he would build the temple. It had actually been a desire in his heart that he would be the one to build this house for God. You see, God had taken David, if you know his life story, God had taken David from being a shepherd of sheep to now being the ruler of Israel. And during his rulership, during his leadership of Israel, David had demonstrated to God how much he loved him. God We see that David loved to worship the Lord, and as he ruled Israel, he brought the Ark of the Covenant, the place that housed God's presence. He found it and he brought it back to the city of Jerusalem. And as he was in Jerusalem and he thought about the beautiful surroundings that he was living in his palace, and then he looked at God's Ark of Covenant and how it was stored in a tent, he was like, this is not right. I need to build a house for God's presence to dwell in. I need to build this place where God can be honored and God can be lifted up and people can come and worship him. I need to build something for that. And so he had this really strongly on his heart, but God said no. God said no. And we can pick this up in 1 Chronicles 22. It says, the word of the Lord came to David saying, you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name. Behold, a son shall be born to you. He shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all of his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon. For I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. Okay, God, so that's fair enough, right? Maybe David hadn't always been out there doing the kinds of things that good followers of Jesus, of God, would do. But what you need to know is all of these battles and these wars that David fought, all of this blood that David shed, was actually God ordained. He had spent a lot of his life leading mighty men, leading armies, and vanquishing the enemies of God from the land that had belonged to the people of God. He overcame the Philistines, he overcame the Ammonites. And he did all this because God had asked him to, because God had called him to, because God had anointed him to do this. And God then tells him he can't build the temple. And that's what makes 1 Chronicles 29 so astounding. Because when David then releases his rule to the next generation and releases Solomon to build the temple, there is no malice in that moment. There is no withholding of honor or grace for Solomon. There is no spite. There is no sarcasm. There's no grudges being held. You can hear it in the way that he presents Solomon to the people. David is fully releasing of Solomon into that next chapter for Israel. God, David is fully releasing of him into his leadership. But more than that, he puts in Solomon's hands in front of all these leaders the plans for the temple, and presents him with all of these materials and preparations that he had made for the building of the temple. In fact, scripture goes to great length to detail everything that David had left for Solomon. The legacy that David passed on to him was vast. And so this is not a man who felt ripped off or betrayed by God or his son. This was a man who was at peace with the part that he had to play in the establishment of God's kingdom. This was a man who knew his role and his place in the outworking of God's plan. God had released David to overcome these enemies of God and to bring godly leadership over the nation of Israel. God had released him to go out there and get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it back into Jerusalem and to establish that nation in peace, so that it would be ready then for the next generation to build the temple. This was David's part to play. Over time, he had done many things. He'd been a shepherd of sheep and a shepherd of people, a king, a mighty warrior, a prophet, a worshiper. He had made mistakes. But this was not why God had said, you cannot build the temple. It was because he had been called to play a part, and now that part was done. Solomon was the one who was called to lead the next chapter. And in this atmosphere of peace and rest that God had established through David, then Solomon was able to build the temple. You see, what David knew was this whole outplaying of events was not about him, but rather about playing his part in the advancement of the kingdom of God. David knew his life and the legacy he left behind was a vital part in the legacy chain. He knew that he must carry his portion well. And today I want to speak to you around this thought about the legacy chain. When you hear us talk about this phrase, it's not one that we use, it's not one that you read about in the Bible, but it actually refers to a biblical principle that we all have a part to play in leaving a legacy for the next generation. As we steward well what God has placed in our hands, as we invest in the next generation, then that legacy chain remains strong. And one generation after the other continues to see the kingdom of God advanced, expanded, and continue to gather momentum. And while he didn't use these words, David, we can see he understood what the legacy chain was all about, because he understood something that many of us miss today, and that is that our God is a generational God. The Bible tells us that our God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He sees the full scope of the generations. When he looks at you, he doesn't just see you. He sees you and he sees your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents. He knows everything that's gone before and every generation that's going to follow after. That's why when you read Scripture, you see those genealogies listed in Scripture that say things like Obed begot Jesse and Jesse begot David and David begot Solomon and so on and so on. And God refers even to himself at times as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is a generational God. And if we understand that, then the implications for us are profound. How we live our lives, knowing that we are one link in a generational chain, changes our perspective on everything, changes the way that we view the purpose behind our lives. It speaks to how significant our lives are. It speaks to how important the choices are that we make, the steps that we take in our lives. When you consider your own life and how God is at work in you and how God is working through you and all the things that he has done, this means that he's not doing that work in you and through you and your family just for you, but he is doing it because he wants to impact the generations to come. So if you are saved here today, if you have received salvation, that is for you, but it's not just for you. God is inviting you. I'm encouraging you today. Steward that well. You are saved not just for you. You are saved because now you carry that gospel message in your heart for the next generation. You save that. You have that for other people in your world. The freedom he's outworked in you, that's not just for you. The finance he's placed in your hands, that's not just for you. The gifts and talents he's placed on your life, the peace he's given you, the restoration he's brought to your family, none of that is just for you. It's all part of the legacy chain. God will do that work in your life, but he's doing it because there is another generation that needs to benefit from it. There's another generation that you can steward that for and pass it on to. It's no wonder that we read these kinds of things in the book of Psalms. This is from Psalm 78. He writes, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." What the psalmist of Psalm 78 is trying to teach us is that the choices we make matter. Because what we choose to do with what we have will impact the generations to come. The wisdom that you'll find in this psalm is that the legacy chain doesn't remain strong by accident. We don't just drift along in life and accidentally build for and raise up a future generation. We don't just drift along in life and see flourishing, strong churches established in our communities. We don't just drift along in life and see many come to know Jesus and be able to step into those churches. This only happens when people like those the Psalms write about, people like David did for Solomon, choose to make a way for the next generation, choose to tell them, choose to build something that they can inherit and in turn build upon. And we know how that works today. We know how that works today when it comes to our choices. If you're a parent in this place today, you would be so intentional about the choices you make for your children. It's why we deliberate for weeks, months, years about what school we're going to send our kids to. It's why we are so intentional about the kinds of friends that they have, what they watch on TV, how much time they're spending on their iPad, because we know that the choices we make matter. And even if you don't have children today, you are still making choices that will impact the next generation by the way you conduct yourself around your nephews and nieces, around the younger people in our church community. You know, they are watching you. They see you. And they see the choices that you make. You know the implications of those kinds of choices. It's why we watch our language, right, around younger children. We understand that the choices we make today will have future implications. In the same way, playing our part in the legacy chain, leaving a legacy of generational blessing, requires an intentionality in each generation. We need to live intentionally to pick up and carry and steward and grow what has been placed in our hands and then pass it on to the next. We can't just drift along and expect that it's going to happen. We need to be intentional about what we do. We need to live with the future in mind to build something that future generations will inherit. Living from that foundation of knowing that these choices, the choices we make, will build a legacy that others will inherit, be it a legacy of blessing or a legacy of lack. The truth of the legacy chain is that the outcome of the choices you make today will be revealed in the legacy experienced by others in the future. This is the challenge of living with a generational mindset. In our instant gratification, I want it now, so I'll Uber it, I'll microwave it, I'll afterpay it kind of world. It's a challenge because it requires us to live beyond ourselves and live beyond our right now. It means that we're going to give. It means we're going to sacrifice. It means we're going to lay down things now so that the future of our church will be blessed, so the future of our church will be strong. It means that we will give, sacrifice, and lay down things now for people that we may never meet, for places that we may never go, for campuses and churches that we may never step foot in. The church that we experience today, this church that we are in right now today, has been built on the choices of those who have intentionally sacrificed and given year after year since Nations Church began over 19 years ago. And you know what? I'm very grateful for all of those who have given to build the future of this church. And they gave, though they may never meet us. They gave, though they may never step into this building. May never send their kids to the kids' church or their teenagers to the youth ministry. You need to know whether you've been coming here for years or even if this is your first time here, that you are a recipient of the legacy that others have intentionally built. Though they didn't know that one day their giving was going to go towards the purchase of a building at 16 Helmshaw Way in Port Kennedy. And I'm so grateful that they were intentional to live beyond their now, that they're intentional to live beyond themselves and give to establish the legacy we live in today. This is what it means to play our part in living a generational life, of leaving a generational legacy. Today, every single one of us is a link in that legacy chain. We all have a part to play in the outworking of God's plans and purposes for humanity. And we must not allow our link to break. We need to keep our link strong. Because you see, when you don't keep your link strong, when you allow your link to break, the cost is very high. This Bible here, was given to my grandfather in 1927. That's why it's so old and wrinkly. And it was given to him when he was serving in the kids' ministry in Kimber Methodist Church in outback South Australia. He ended up there because he immigrated from the UK as part of a scheme that brought young men into South Australia to support the farming families there. He came as a non-Christian, and when he lived in Kimber, he found God. How incredible. And after his time serving at the Kimber Methodist Church, he left there to go to Bible College in Adelaide, and they presented him with this as he left. And I'd like to say that I live in the legacy of that today. And maybe I do. But sadly, we don't know what happened when he went to Bible College, but he never finished. And though he is a man that we honour and respect, a good man, a hard-working man, the grandfather that I knew and the dad that my dad knew went to his grave denying God. You see, the link broke. The cost is high. And today I pray that my dad and his siblings and their children and their grandchildren and my siblings and their children will come to know the Lord. Every link in the chain counts. Your link in the chain counts. We must not let our link break, because the cost is high. And what we do today to invest in this house will ensure that the next generation has a place that they can come to find Jesus and to build families of faith and to live in the purpose and the destiny that God has for them and for the generations that will come after them. This week, I came across this incredible example of this in nature. Scientists call it multi-generational migration. Bit of a tongue twister. And this is something that happens amongst butterflies. You know what a monarch butterfly is? You've heard of them? So the monarch butterfly migrates every year from Mexico to Canada. 4,000 kilometres to travel and back again. And what happens is the first generation of butterflies leave Mexico. They fly as far as they can go. And on the way, they lay eggs. The second generation of butterflies that come from those eggs continue the journey. They go as far as they can go. And on the way, they lay eggs. The third generation of butterflies that hatches from their eggs continues the journey. And it might take 3 generations or 4 generations for them to reach Canada. Multi-generational migration. Multi-generational migration. You know, I shared that with you today because I want you to know the value of your link in the chain, but also that what God wants to do through Nations Church Port Kennedy will not be completed by one generation. He has so much that he wants to do, more than we can ask, think, or imagine, but it cannot be completed by one generation. The value, though, in what we do, the distance we fly, will set up the next generation for what they can carry, how much further they can carry it, how much further they can bring it. We must not let our responsibility drop to steward well what we have in our hands for the next generation. Because if we don't carry it as far as we can go, they have so much more that they have to carry. We slow the pace down. Like David, we must do what God has called us to do so that we can hand a well-prepared legacy on to the next generation. We must not break. We must not let it go. We must do what God has called us to do. So often we think it doesn't matter if just once we just satisfy our own need today. Sometimes we think it doesn't matter if we just make that commitment to something else instead of financially stewarding our resources for the kingdom of God. We think it won't matter. And, you know, we give so easily of our finances to things like Netflix and Amazon and Paramount and Uber Eats and Nando's and the Iconic and KO and your bubble tea and your $6 coffees. Yeah, I'm going after all the sacred cows today. And hey, do those things, enjoy those things. But what I'm trying to do here today is tell you to put them in their rightful place. They will not build the local church. They will not ensure that there is a place for the next generation to come and find God. You need to know today that it's only going to be the people who are children of God, who are the followers of God, who are going to build the local church. The government's not going to do it for you. Netflix is not going to do it for you. It is on us. We are the only ones who are going to build it today. You know, every year at this time, we give our attention to remembering the past and building the future because we want to ensure that we never drop the ball when it comes to building a future that the future generations will inherit. So this year, we are inviting you to give with us again, to make the choice to prepare well for the next generation, that we would all play our part in the legacy chain. So today it's time for us to put that stake in the ground again and to choose a legacy of blessing and to choose a legacy of strength for the next generation. You know, after 5 months of becoming a nation's church campus, we stepped into this building. We had given probably pretty much next to nothing towards the purchase of this building. We'd never had a building our future Sunday at that point. But we have this building today because of what many before us had sacrificed.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.